Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Pranjalaya. With folded hands. Prachetasa. The Pracheta brothers. Tat. Him. Darshana. By seeing. Drasta. Dissipated. Tamaha. Of darkness. Raja. Of passion. Mala. Whose contamination. Gita. With a voice. Agrinan. Offered prayers. Gadgadaya. Faltering. Surittamam, unto the greatest of all friends. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya said, after the personality of Godhead spoke thus, the Prachetas began to offer him prayers. The Lord is the bestower of all success in life, and is the supreme benefactor. He is also the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. In a faltering voice, due to ecstasy, the Prachetas began to offer prayers. They were purified by the presence of the Lord, who was before them face to face. Purport. The Lord is herein described as Purushartha Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. Whatever success we want in life can be attained by the mercy of the Lord. Since the Prachetas had already attained the Lord's mercy, they were no longer subject to the contamination of the material modes. The material modes dissipated from them, just as the darkness of night immediately dissipates when the sun rises. Because the Lord appeared before them, naturally all the contaminations of the material qualities of rajas and tamas completely disappeared. Similarly, when an unalloyed devotee chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he is also purified of all material contamination, because the name of the Lord and the Lord are identical, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, Shrinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanha Ridhi Antastohi Havadrani Vidanoti Saritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. The holy name of the Lord is the Lord himself. If one chants and hears, he becomes purified. Gradually, all material contamination disappears. The Prachetas were already purified due to the Lord's presence before them, and they could therefore offer the proper prayers with folded hands. In other words, as soon as devotees are engaged in devotional service, they become transcendental to all material contamination immediately, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Sometimes the devotees are dissatisfied due to their not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. When the Prachetas saw the Supreme Lord personally present, their unhappiness vanished. Purushartha Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life, and Janardhanam, one who dissipates all the disadvantages of the devotees. These are two characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should know what is our ultimate goal in life, because there are so many different goals which may be considered as very important. Therefore, we hear dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These are the principal activities of the ordinary persons to perform various ritualistic pious works for the purpose of achieving some economic advantage in order to fulfill their desires and perhaps to even attempt at liberation. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, its author, Srila Vyasadeva, has provided a fifth goal, which is completely beyond these other four. Because certainly the first three, and even the fourth, liberation, are not fully transcendental. Liberation in the sense of release from the modes of material nature does not ensure that one can get a permanent footing at the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, sometimes liberation is mocked, because it is stated that one who achieves at least impersonal liberation falls down again on account of not having achieved the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there are five types of liberation, and four of these may be accepted by the Vaishnavas. For example, to attain a body similar to that of the Lord, or to attain residence in the Lord's abode. These are acceptable. But the fifth, Sayujya Mukti, merging into the impersonal Brahman, is never accepted by the Vaishnavas. So, therefore, it is said sometimes that even liberation is mocked. Mukti makulitanjate sevate sman. Mukti, or liberation, is waiting as a maidservant at the door of bhakti. In other words, one who is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is already liberated. Liberated how? Sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. No more contact with the modes of material nature. This is the principle that we spoke of briefly yesterday when we said that a Sankirtan devotee, when coming in contact with the conditioned souls, frees them from the modes of material nature. The same point is mentioned here by the word Janardana. Janardanam is a name for the Supreme Lord, just as Bhagavan is a name or a title for the Supreme Lord. Sometimes, however, that title is also applied to a devotee, because on account of the mercy of the Lord, a devotee may be empowered to act on behalf of the Lord, and therefore we see that great devotees of the Lord, like Shiva or Narada Muni, may sometimes be addressed as Bhagavan. Not that it means that they are the original personality of Godhead, but that they are acting as his viceroy or as his representative, empowered representative. In the same way, the term Janardanam, which means that one who takes away all the disadvantages of the devotee, that may also sometimes apply to the devotees as well. Just like we see that the merciful spiritual master bestows his benediction upon those who are sincere. How? By delivering Krishna consciousness. By delivering Krishna consciousness, all the disadvantages are dissipated from the heart. Because one who is fixed in transcendental knowledge realizes that these temporary goals in life, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized, najanam, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, to be interested in followers or fame or beautiful members of the opposite sex or wealth, these things are not important. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, Mama janmani janmani ishare bhavatad bhaktiro hoituki. For one who is a devotee, for one who is engaged in devotional service, these type of temporary things are not very important. So, by distributing transcendental knowledge, it is described that one gives up attachment to mundane things. Just like we say that to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions, is an offense against the holy name. So, to perform the chanting of the holy name purely, to perform devotional service properly, one has to give up material attachments. And therefore it is said, Bhogaishvarya Prashaktanam Vyaparita Chetasam. One who is too much attached, Bhogaishvarya, who is too much attached to enjoyment and Aishvarya and opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Therefore, voluntarily a devotee simplifies his or her life. Doesn't care to accumulate unnecessary possessions. What is the use? They become an anchor. So, in this way, a devotee is liberated. Liberated from attachments. Liberated from the three modes of material nature. The ropes. Gunan. This guna is also the word for material modes and the word for ropes. So, by transcendental knowledge, by the sword of transcendental knowledge, by the other cutting edge of the sword, which is the reciprocation from knowledge, which is true detachment, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Ganayati Asu Vairagyam Ganam Chayat Ahoitukam. These two things come when one performs devotional service. Naturally they come, Gyan and Vairagya. From knowledge and detachment, a devotee becomes free from the modes of material nature. So, with that sword, he cuts the hard knot of material attachment. Sometimes we have said ahankar, the false ego, because ultimately material attachment is due to false ego. And this false ego is born out of the mode of ignorance. It is coming directly from the mode of ignorance. At the time of creation, we see that when the mode of ignorance, this tamagun, is mixed, then gradually it produces ahankar, the false ego. False ego means I am my body, and the things connected with my body will produce happiness for me. Sheer foolishness, and it is all a misconception. It cannot produce happiness, and we have not seen it to produce happiness. That happiness is only like a sugar coating on a very, very bitter pill. If the karmis think that they are happy, we know what is the basis of that happiness. It is very much suffering underneath. Just like the whole world picture presents that story. Again and again, history shows. History on a large scale, and history within the human individual's transmigration proves that every time there's this thin little covering of sugar coating, inside is the bitter, bitter pill. And we can elaborate, or you can elaborate. Anybody can elaborate. I remember when I joined Krishna Consciousness, there was Jayananda Prabhu, was the temple president in San Francisco. And he used to sit there, and he used to give a lecture, and he'd be rocking back and forth. He was a taxi driver, you see. So as a taxi driver, so his class, his Srimad Bhagavatam class, was that he would tell you about all the people he picked up the previous day in his taxi and how they're suffering. He said, oh, they're suffering so much. And then he said, yesterday I picked up this person, and she was telling me about this and this, and then I picked up, and on. He was getting so many realizations simply driving his taxi. So anyone who is intelligent, who simply opens his eyes and ears, can see how the material world is full of suffering. Abrahma bhuvano loko puno avartina arjuna mamu peti tukunte. That from the highest planet to the lowest, all are places of suffering. Dukalayam ashashvatam. So now you are all getting, you know, realization. The Sankirtan devotees act out of compassion because they see how much suffering people are enduring. Why? Simply out of ignorance. Simply out of ignorance. They don't have any better alternative. One reason. They are not properly educated. And therefore, they are simply repeating what they have learned from their own parents and their teachers. More perpetuating more ignorance. The blind leading the blind. And out comes the devotee, who is Shastra Chaksu, who sees with the eyes of Scripture, who presents these eyes for everyone else to see. You know, it's like what really we are doing is that the whole world are blind. And the Sankirtan devotees are going around with these, you know, books, which are just like giving people eyesight for the first time. Anyone who picks up this book and starts to read, they get vision. They get understanding. Because it is impossible to penetrate the network of Maya without the help of a bona fide pure devotee. Without the help, just like Prabhupada's books, without the help of this vision, Srimad Bhagavatam appeared, didn't it? It appeared when Krishna left the world. Krishna is the sun. And when Krishna left the world, when he wound up his manifest pastimes, the whole world appeared to be plunged in darkness. And it is at that moment that this book appeared. The book rose. Krishna set, and this book rose up. The Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures rose up, and the whole, you know, world became illuminated. At least anyone who took help from this Bhagavatam can see what is what. Otherwise, they cannot understand what is what, and they become more and more entangled in sinful behavior. And that sinfulness causes them suffering. Suffering is due to sins. And sins are due to ignorance. And ignorance is due to lack of education. Therefore, we are directly ending the suffering of people when we distribute these books. And we should know that. And they will act. They will certainly act. As Harikesh Maharaj said once, they are like time bombs. They must go off. You know, it's like there's no way to defuse them. Somehow or other, they shall go off. And who, you know, when the thing explodes, who gets the result? Only Krishna will say, who is qualified to get the result. So, with that type of conviction, we go forward. So, the supreme benediction. Now, what is that purushartha bhajanam? The bestow. What is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is loving devotion to Krishna. This is the ultimate goal. Namo maha bharanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namani gauri tishe namaha. This is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bestow. The ultimate goal. What is that? Very special thing. Very special thing. And it says, which no one else ever before gave. Very big statement Srila Rupa Goswami has made. What no one else gave. That means there was some Krishna consciousness before. The great acharyas have come before Lord Chaitanya. It is not that they were not there. Srila Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, they all came. And still Rupa Goswami has made this statement, never before given. So it appears, I mean, is he sectarian? Is he simply a party man? Rupa Goswami, is he simply glorifying Lord Chaitanya at the cost of everyone else, making some false boasting, as so many people normally do? Certainly not. Srila Rupa Goswami is not that kind of person. He's a liberated personality. He never lies. He does not exaggerate in any way. Then why does he make this claim that Lord Chaitanya has come to bestow what no one else has ever come to give before? Because he has come to give that type of love which the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. And especially that kind of love which the gopis have for Krishna, which is the most rare of all and is glorified above all and is rarely, rarely understood. Rarely understood. Hidden. It is there, but it is hidden. Just like those who are the Vedas personified. They know the glories of the gopis' love for Krishna. And because they spoke this wonderful knowledge, the Veda Mata, the mother of the Vedas, she desired also to find out more. It is said that the Upanishads, some of the Upanishads, have some very confidential information hidden within them. And therefore, hearing the Upanishads speak about the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, the mother of the Vedas, she desired to take her birth in Vrindavan as a gopi. And so she did. And when she took her birth, it is described that she took her birth as a gopi in Vrindavan, and thus this special Gayatri which we chant, the Kam Gayatri, appeared or manifested. And similarly, not only that Gayatri, but a very special Upanishad appeared, known as the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. And this Upanishad is very special because it describes the glories of this Kam Gayatri, and at the same time it also describes the glories of Srimati Radharani. So it is not that, as some people say, where is the name of Radha mentioned? The name of Radharani is mentioned. It is hidden, but it is mentioned. And it simply requires some very special qualification. And what is that qualification? It is that one get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, it is not possible to understand Radha and Krishna. And therefore, it is said by Rupa Goswami that you have come to bestow what no one else ever bestowed before. Why? Because you are Krishna in the mood of Radharani. This is why no one else could do it. And therefore, Dvaitacharya prayed, "My Lord, only you can do it." He didn't have to say. He knew what he was praying for. He wanted a specific manifestation to come, not just anyone. Because, just like we hear, demons can be killed by anyone. Even love of God, it may also be given by so many incarnations. But this particular type of love for Krishna can only be given by Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, in other words, by Lord Chaitanya. So what Lord Chaitanya has come to give is very, very special. How can we estimate our fortune? We who are the most fallen, the most least deserving of all, we get the greatest gift of all, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is unfathomable. You know, the Lord has got his inconceivable energy known as Achinta Shakti, and she certainly has bestowed causeless mercy in the form of making this possible, that person who is least qualified gets the rarest of all gifts. However, they have to accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we see the plan of Srila Prabhupada, who is force-feeding the world, this Krishna consciousness movement, who is force-feeding, just like a doctor does this sometimes. You know, the little child is screaming, crying like this, and the father or the mother is holding the child down, and the mother is opening up the child's mouth, and the doctor goes, put in the pill, and hits them on the back, and the child swallows the pill. So practically we are having to do like that. We are force-feeding these books on people. You know, Prabhupada says, by one means or another, we are inducing them to eat. We are inducing them to drink the nectar. And afterwards, then they smile. You know, first they're crying. Sometimes they cry, you know. And then they somehow pull out their money and they give, and then they start smiling. Isn't it? And then you induce them to give more, and they smile even more and give more as they recover from the modes of material nature. So, this is very astonishing. It is very astonishing. It is what Rupa Goswami was speaking about. You have come to give the rarest gift of all. Love for Krishna. Love for Krishna in a special way as the gopis love Krishna. The gopis' love for Krishna is very, very extraordinary. It is special because it does not even have a slight scent of personal desire involved. There is no degree of any personal interest on the part of the gopis. Everything they do is for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Even they don't desire to personally associate. They simply think, how can we bring Radha and Krishna together? And seeing Radha and Krishna together in their wonderful activities, the gopis become so satisfied and happy. So this is the mood of Rupa Goswami. And he is trying to teach us this mood. He is teaching us through practical activities, just like we are trying to learn that. Even now, in the platform of basic sadhana bhakti, we are trying to learn the selfless service spirit. And therefore, the spiritual master and service to the spiritual master and service to the Vaishnavas is essential for a devotee to learn this mood of the gopis. Because in practicing serving the guru and in practicing serving the Vaishnavas, we can gradually see that how we become happy through pleasing them. This is the experience that we get. When we please our spiritual master and he is satisfied, we didn't get anything personal out of it, and yet we feel happy within our heart. That is the experience of all sincere devotees. So this should show us what is the gopis' mood, a little bit indication of what is their mood. Their mood is like this also. When they see Radharani meeting with Krishna, they become very pleased. And they have so many ways of arranging for the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. There are, it is described by Rupa Goswami, billions and billions of gopis. The uncountable numbers of gopis. It is stated that when Krishna danced in the dance with the gopis, that walking on the shore of the Jamuna, there were billions of gopis. Now someone may ask, how is it possible? I have been to Vrindavan. You know, billions of means as many people as in the whole world right now. How can you say, how did Rupa Goswami say, that they are all contained, you know, on the shore of the Jamuna River? But actually it is possible. Because we see that another thing, another phenomenon, to give us some understanding, that Vrindavan Dham, the size of Vrindavan Dham, is measurable. Does anyone know what the size is? 32 square miles. And what is the size of Braja? 168 square miles. The two, Vrindavan and Braja, I believe 168, they say. So both measurements are quite small, 32 square miles, or have you heard that number, 168? Yeah, I have heard that. Anyway, 32 square miles, certainly we've heard. So that place is 32 square miles, and it is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. And yet we find that Goloka Vrindavan is bigger than the rest of Vaikuntha. And the rest of Vaikuntha is three quarters, whereas the material world is one quarter. That means that somehow or other, within that 32 square miles, is practically the whole creation, or the whole manifestation, both material and spiritual, simply within that area. How is it possible? That is inconceivable. That is called achinta shakti. It cannot be fathomed. It's impossible to conceive of. And it cannot be conceived of, but it can be understood by a different principle. When we try to understand transcendental subject matter, logic and reason can stretch to a certain degree. But then there's another principle that takes over. And what is that? That is some bhakti shakti, or in specifically, ladini shakti. Ladini shakti is Srimati Radharani, who is also the personality who governs bhakti. So by the grace of Srimati Radharani, when we are infused with this devotional life, we can gradually understand this, not simply by material logic and reason. We can understand. It begins with faith, no doubt. It begins with faith, and it is nourished, and it grows until we can begin to understand that, yes, Krishna can do the inconceivable. It is possible. So, billions and billions of gopis, you see, and they're all serving Krishna and Radharani in different ways. They each have their specific service. And some of them are carrying messages. Some of them are preparing nice things for the loving couple. Some of them are, so many different activities that they are performing. And all of these things are going on a daily basis. And Radha and Krishna satisfied, and the gopis become pleased. And all of the activities that are going on in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, are to nourish these loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And this is what Rupa Goswami has taught. So we are preparing for that. This is Purushartha. When it says, what is the ultimate object? What is the ultimate goal? This is the ultimate goal. That one day, by some great good fortune, as it says, we can develop Shinvatam Sakata Krishna Punyashravana Kirtana Hridayantashtohya Badrani Ridhanoti Siddhitsitam. We can develop a desire to hear his messages, an urge to hear the messages regarding Krishna and his loving devotees. This is, and how? Shinvata Sakata Krishna Punya Shavana, by constantly hearing Krishna Kata. So this should be our main business, Shravanam Kirtanam, to hear and chant again and again the glories of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, the message, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, glorification of these books, glorification of devotional service, that is also Krishna Katha. So Sankirtan devotees should take advantage of this prime benediction. They should try as far as possible to interest the conditioned souls by this vibration, transcendental vibration, not simply by any mundane jingle or mundane mantra, but by some transcendental speaking, so that the persons think that something here is, this is very unusual. So devotees can do that simply by the strength of these books alone. It is possible to continually do Shravanam Kirtanam. Therefore, the book distributors and preachers are most fortunate, because their whole day they're engaged in Shravanam Kirtanam. Otherwise, it is difficult. Can you imagine if we had to sit down in a temple marathon? You say that this is difficult, to be in a book marathon. But I think it's more easy than to sit down in a temple room for 12 hours a day and simply chant on the beats. That would be very difficult. Very difficult. But somehow, Prabhupada has made this same type of mantra meditation possible, expanding it in the form of Sankirtan. So devotees should not lose sight of what is the means of doing this Sankirtan in the most beneficial way, beneficial for yourself and the conditioned souls, by speaking constantly about Krishna, by speaking about these books, the glories of these books, in one way or another. That will very much purify yourself as well as the hearing of others. So we have run out of time. We will stop here and ask if anyone has any comments or questions. There were other things to be said here, but yes. Yes, the conditioned souls who are in the body of Mahavishnu, it is said that they are there with all of the various elements are there. The false ego, the subtle senses, all things are there in an unmanifest condition. So it is simply not manifest yet. But by imprint from the previous creation, their desires are imprinted in subtle form. And as soon as false ego is created and the various elements are created, then the facilities to fulfill those unfulfilled desires become settled up on the conditioned soul, both first subtly and then grossly. But at least the subtle thing is there. It is described that when Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, not Mahavishnu, but Garbhadakshayi Vishnu looks, he sees within himself. There's two glances. One glance is Mahavishnu's glancing, which impregnates the conditioned souls in time. Another glance is done by Garbhadakshayi Vishnu when he sees the conditioned souls who are within him in their subtle bodies. Their subtle bodies means full of all their material desires. And because he feels the urgency of their desires to be fulfilled, that bursts forth out of the navel as a lotus on which Brahma is born and the material creation takes place. So as in the body of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, so in the body of Mahavishnu, the same principle must be there, that the conditioned souls are lying there with this imprinted desires from the past and in a subtle form. So they are marked like this. Even if, now supposing one gives a different response, saying that, no, the conditioned soul was lying there, but there's no subtle body yet attached to the conditioned soul in the body of Mahavishnu, then another explanation can be given, that because Vishnu is God and he knows past, present, and future, he remembers perfectly whatever their desires were. And so as soon as they are manifest, then he reminds them again. And that also, that explanation is given. Prabhupada gives this explanation also in one Bhagavatam verse, in a purport. I think it's a purport to 3rd Canto, 6th chapter, text 3. There's a purport in 3 or 4, and he says that the super soul reminds the conditioned soul of what his desires were. So either way is explained the false. Anyway, this is some possible explanations. Rohini Sutta Prabhu. Twenty-fourths and a half. Yeah. There are different Gayatri mantras. Of course, are we going over time or we're all right? We can keep speaking if you want. Brahma Gayatri means Om Bhur Bhuvasa Tat Savitur Dat Gayatri. And that is a general Gayatri given to all persons. But in our line, we get further Gayatris. We get Guru Gayatri, Gaur Gayatri, and the Krishna, Radha Krishna Gayatris, Kam Gayatri. So, in terms of Kam Gayatri, there are, first of all, the first one is given, which is this Gopal mantra of 18 syllables. Kleem Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopi Jana Balabhaya, Saha. And that mantra is the one that is described in Gopal Tupani Upanishad. The Kumaras inquired from Brahma, wanting to hear the glories of this Gayatri. And Brahma taught them the glories of this Gayatri. And that Gayatri is also taught by two Brahma, is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, by goddess Saraswati. This is not the Saraswati of this world, but it is a divine consort of Narayan or Vishnu. She taught him this mantra. And by this mantra, he chanted, and Brahma says that he could therefore envision the spiritual world and Krishna and Radharani's pastimes there. So becoming qualified through chanting this Gayatri, Kleem Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopi Jana Balabhaya Saha. This Gayatri includes three principles. Krishna is Madan Mohan, who is the Sambandha Tattva deity. Sanatana Goswami's deity is Madan Mohan, by which we learn to establish our relationship with Krishna, meaning, who am I, who is God, and what is our relationship with him? The basic understandings. You can see in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 20 through 24, Sanatana Shiksha, all instructions on all subject matter. Then, Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya. Govinda is the deity of Srila Rupa Goswami. It is the Abhideya Tattva deity by which we establish our practices of serving Krishna in many different ways, the various practices. Even if you are worshipping different deities, the fact is that they act. Krishna has his manifestation as Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana deities. Every deity ultimately can. These are the basic tattvas, which are there in all Vedic literatures, and Krishna manifests himself in this way, and Guru teaches these things. So, how to serve Krishna? What is the means? That is Abhideya. And then, finally, Gopi Jana Balabha. This is the final goal, Purushartha, means Krishna, the master of the gopis. So, that is taught by Raghunath Das and his prayers and loving devotion to Krishna and to Radha. So, by chanting this mantra, one becomes qualified more and more, and then the final mantra is given, Kleem Kamadevaya Vidmahe Pushpavanaya Dimahi Tana Nanga Prachodayat. Even though we are saying these mantras out loud, they are printed in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So if someone thinks, how can you say these on a loudspeaker system, Prabhupada says them in a book, which is a lot louder than this microphone, because the books are going all over the world. Anyway, if someone is not qualified, even if they hear it, it doesn't, it just, you know, sounds like so many syllables. It won't mean much. So, now, this second mantra is described that this mantra came in a special way. That by chanting the first Gopal mantra, Brahmaji performed tapasya. When it says in the Bhagavatam that Brahma was told tapa, do tapasya. His tapasya was to chant this mantra, Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gop, and he performed that tapasya very perfectly. We are not so advanced, so we got to do all other types of tapasya, like run around in the parking lots for 12 hours a day, because we cannot simply chant as Brahma. But Brahma could simply meditate on this mantra and do all running around, you know, that we have to do physically. He did it in that way. So when he became purified, because tapasya purifies you of all anarthas, all unwanted things go out of the heart when you meditate on the order of Guru and Krishna. So he got the order of Guru coming from Krishna, and he meditated, and therefore he heard the flute sound of Krishna. And that flute sound of Krishna entered within his 8 ear holes and entered within his heart, you see. And that flute sound was the sound of this Kam Gayatri. Kleem Kamadevaya Vidmahe Pushpabhanaya Dimahi Tananga Prachodayat. Now, this mantra has got some special significance. It is described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. It is a mantra of 24 and a half syllables. And these 24 and a half syllables are compared to moons upon the body of the Lord. The Lord's body is described like so many moons. The king of the moons that governs all the other moons is the beautiful moon-like face of the Lord. And then there are other moons. His forehead is another moon. And then going on, different parts of the body are described to be like moons. So counting all the moons, there are 24 and a half. Now, the Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is the most exalted personality, when we read Prabhupada's purports, we should know that Prabhupada's purports especially draw from the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is so important that Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports in the Bhagavatam, after all, Prabhupada's life mission was to give principal mission within his big overall mission is the translation of Bhagavatam. And in the translation of Bhagavatam, more important than the verses are the purports, which Prabhupada said are his transcendental ecstasies and realization. Those purports draw largely from the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So we should understand the position of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was reading the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was reading Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So when he came to this statement about the Gayatri Mantra being 24 and a half syllables, he became very perplexed, because there is no such thing as a half syllable as far as he could make out. There are 50 syllables altogether, and he never heard of about a half syllable. And even when he was trying, he could not figure it out. And yet, he was thinking that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami cannot make any mistakes. He is a liberated personality. And he has written that there are 24 and a half syllables, and this half syllable is on the forehead. But when he was counting, he was trying to figure out, and he was making the syllable count, and he could not do it. So he became very, very disturbed, because he thought, first of all, how can my guru make a mistake? And yet I cannot understand what he is saying. And he cannot make a mistake because he's a perfect soul. And secondly, this Kam Gayatri is none different than Krishna himself. And if I cannot understand the meaning of what is here, because I cannot figure out how it is possible for there to be 24 and a half syllables, then how am I ever going to realize Krishna? And if I can't realize Krishna, then the goal of my life is unattainable, so I might as well suicide. So thinking in this way, he went to Radhakund. He was there already, living at Radhakund. And he threw himself down on the bank of Radhakund, prepared to fast until death. Then, in the middle of the night, seeing his condition, Srimati Radharani personally appeared to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. She personally manifested herself, and she appeared, and she said, "My dear Vishwanath, you should know that Krishnadas Kaviraj is my great and very dear devotee, and he never makes any mistake. If you want to see the meaning of this 24 and a half syllables, you should go into the following scripture. And in that scripture, you will find that there is a definition that when the word ya, when the syllable ya is followed by the next syllable v, the two together are taken as a half syllable. So kleem kamadevai ya vidmahi. This mantra goes like that. It is a ya and then the v comes next. And counting this way, and marking the syllable starting from the top of the head of Krishna going downwards, that half syllable comes on the forehead. So when Vishwanath Chakravarti Kathakur heard this, he immediately woke up and he was in great ecstasy. He kept this instruction of Srimati Radharani within his heart. Then he went and he traced out this scripture, which was a very rare scripture, and sure enough he found this statement within it. And Radharani told him that then you write a commentary on this Gayatri mantra, which will explain it to everyone. So he wrote this very beautiful commentary, which describes all of the different meanings of each of the words of the Gayatri, just like this bij, klim, ka, la, I, ma. That K stands for Krishna, la stands for Srimati Radharani, the E stands for different things. Sometimes the gopis, it is said the gopis, the devotional service, the embrace of Radha and Krishna, the M and the bindu, the dot over it, is their kissing. So all of these things Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained within his commentary on the Gayatri Mantra, following his darshan with Srimati Radharani. So, you know, I, of course, what is our condition? Again, remembering Jayananda. When Prabhupada, I got my Gayatri Mantra along with Jayananda. So after some days, Jayananda decided that he could not figure out how to chant this mantra. So he decided to go to Prabhupada to ask him, you know, for a clear explanation, how to pronounce the words. So Prabhupada told him, let me hear you say it. So Jayananda started to chant the Gayatri, and Prabhupada just started laughing. He said, it is hopeless. He said, your pronunciation is hopeless, but because your feeling is correct, Krishna will accept it. Because your emotion and feeling is correct, Krishna will accept your chanting. And the Prabhupada said, now go, never mind, just go on doing. So our hope is like that, that we are full of, you know, we are so unqualified in so many ways. But if there is some small sincerity in the way in which we offer service to Guru and Krishna, Krishna may accept us, despite all the imperfections. That is our only hope. In Bombay, one day, we were working so hard in a big marathon, and I went to Prabhupada and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't know, you know, I our rounds are being rushed through, and we're not always able to study properly, and, you know, I don't know, how are we going to make advancement in this way? And Prabhupada said to me that if in this one lifetime you sacrifice for serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then whatever you are short, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and cover for you and take you back to Godhead. So we should not minimize the efforts that the devotees make in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. Because by that sincere desire to please their guru and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, great mercy can befall them. One is delivered, no doubt, we should try to be delivered by our sadhana. One should try very perfectly to exercise rigidly sadhana bhakti, but we should not rule out the possibility of kripa. Prabhupada says a devotee should expect, at least pray for the mercy of Krishna. And if there's any worthy candidate, let us think and hope that maybe by somehow executing the Sankirtan Yajna, we will get some special consideration. So with those words, we will end. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.